Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Jeff Lloyd, and I recently had a baby with Ed Miliband. A baby podcast, that is. It's a spin-off of our show, Reasons to be Cheerful. It's called Cheerful Book Club, and it's conversations with some of the best writers working in the world today. You'll really enjoy our chats with people like US broadcasting legend Rachel Maddow, literary giant Ian McEwan, and the Big Short and Moneyball author Michael Lewis. Feed your brain with ideas from the Cheerful Book Club. You'll find us on the excellent Acast app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from Ireland and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. I'm Andrew Musgrove and today we're joined by Lee Ryder, Mark Douglas and Chris Goff. And it is the day of the fixture release. And we'll start with you, Lee, on the fixtures. What's your kind of first take of it? Obviously, we started home to Spurs.
It's, for Newcastle, it's a good start. I think, you know, Tottenham at home is a game they can win, you know, in front of a full house. Rafa will be well up for the tactical battle. He'd be keen to, you know, show people that he's back as a manager and Newcastle are back in the Premier League. I think it's a good first opening fixture. And then obviously after that, Huddersfield and West Ham, great opportunity to get 6 points. Won't be easy at Huddersfield, but, you know, Newcastle coped very well with their tactics down there last time. 3-1 win. So, yeah, I'm pleased with the start of the season. I think it's going to be good and... You know, just count down the days now to that first one against Tottenham.
And Chris, obviously the last time Spurs arrived at St James's, it was the 5-1 victory where we saw maybe the best and worst side of Alexander Mitrovic. We saw the best of the crowd, the best of Rafa. Spurs will maybe want a bit of revenge. I think there's some fans on Twitter especially are still a bit hurt at that result, even though it was so long ago.
Yeah, I know that Pochettino was certainly very annoyed by the result. He said that even deep into the summer he was still getting very frustrated by that, and I think that they will want to exact some revenge. But then again, Newcastle are now back in the Premier League. They want to make a statement on the first home game of the season. I expect it to be a really, really big occasion, huge sellout crowd, massive occasion, and with playing against Newcastle, playing against a team who finished second last season, it's going to be very tough. But this is why Newcastle want to be back in this league. You want these big occasions. Rafa wants to test himself. He wants a squad capable of being able to deal with such occasions, particularly at St James's Park. So I expect a really, really tight opening first game. I think Newcastle could even surprise a few people.
Fantastic. Mark, obviously after that Spurs game, there's people would say 5 winnable games come after. Obviously, every game in the Premier League is a very tough fixture, but that is a nice little run-in to welcome Newcastle back to the top flight.
Yeah, I think I don't think you would have wanted too many of the big teams away from home at that start of the season. It probably would have been typical Newcastle luck to kind of get a Manchester United, a Manchester City away in those early games. I think actually they're pretty they look winnable. You know, Huddersfield, that's going to be interesting because that's their first home game. I mean, it's an even bigger occasion for them. And we saw at the start of last season, Huddersfield made a really good start to last season. So you can't take anything for granted. But yeah, I mean, there's a real opportunity there for Newcastle to kind of dig their heels in and really get points on the board, which is what it's about. You know, we saw with Steve McClaren, it became such a grueling season because they didn't manage to get that win. It wasn't until kind of October. Sunderland have successive seasons. I mean, they flirted with danger last few seasons, obviously went down this season, but you know, they hadn't won a game in August, they hadn't won a game in September. You need to get off to a decent start because it just settles the nerves. So yeah, opportunities there for Newcastle. I mean, West Ham at home, you know, I'd fancy Newcastle's chances if they get the players in that Rafa wants. I'd fancy them to get sort of 6 points maybe from those first three games is a believable target. 4 would be a good minimum
boundary, and obviously if they get all nine, then that's absolute dreamland. But you know, they want to get at least 4 points, I think, from those first three games.
Definitely. Lee, how important is it to get that start and to start well in the league?
Well, I mean, if you get 9 out of 9 points, then that's manager of the month territory, isn't it, really, for Rafa? But, you know, he won't be getting carried away. I think, you know, you mentioned there about how strong Tottenham are. I think, was there not something on Sky Sports the other week where they added up both the last 2 years, league tables, and Tottenham were, like, top by,
yeah,
you know, a great distance. So I think that will be tough, but, you know, 6 points out of nine is certainly achievable. I think for Newcastle, really, they need to get points ticked off. It didn't happen, as you say, under McLaren. I think it was the ninth game.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That's a long time in a season. You know, you're looking at getting 40 points as your first target, whether, you know, people say that publicly or not at the club, I don't know. And then after that, you try and build on it. So you've got to try and get a good quarter of that before Christmas, and, you know, make sure you're on the road to safety. And I think, you know, Rafa will not be getting too carried away with the season, but he'll be making sure they've got that first target done and dusted.
It's quite interesting, isn't it, the season, because the way it, with the internationals in particular, the way that starts, obviously in the Championship, Newcastle had a bad start, but because there were so many games, they got a chance to put it right virtually straight away. There's only three games before an international break, so you kind of almost, you know, it becomes like a little bit stop-start, that start of the season. So you do need to get a win, because I think Sunderland saw it last season where they were kind of like, they were going for so long without kind of, you know, regular games. I mean, there was, before their kind of run-in at the end of the season, I think they only had one game in about 4 weeks. It is a bit more like that, the Premier League, so you do need to get points on the board early. So it's good that they've got West Ham and Huddersfield, which are two winnable games. I'm sure they'll feel the same the other way, but no, Newcastle, be confident with that start.
That's it. Chris, you know, these games that come after, obviously Spurs, Huddersfield, West Ham, Swansea, Stoke, Brighton, they're the kind of teams that Newcastle will be battling with and will want to beat to ensure Premier League safety.
100%, as Lee says, the target first and foremost is about survival. Rafa says he wants to compete in the Premier League, and no doubt eventually that's what he wants to do further. But any team who's outside the top seven now, realistically, in the Premier League, has to just first and foremost get away from that. We saw teams like West Ham get dragged into it last year. What's interesting is for the first 3 months, Newcastle only played two sides from last year's top six. They've got the opportunity to start well before a very, very difficult festive period and a very, very difficult end of the season. Last six games are very tough. So it is imperative, really, that they start well. Traditionally, Rafa Benitez's teams have actually got better in the second half of the season, but I think that he's going to be looking at and seeing that the first 3 months we really get some points on the board, because it can give you momentum and a springboard to do well. We saw the season Newcastle finished fifth. They started the season very well, carried that momentum through, and it really can propel you on. West Ham saw the same a couple of years ago as well.
Definitely, and what's going to help, obviously, Benitez get that good start is the players that he wants to bring in. Obviously, the past couple of days has thrown up a few questions about that with regards to potential takeover or additional investments. So we are here on Wednesday. The news was announced on Monday. Lee, what's the latest understanding you've got of the whole kind of takeover additional investment situation?
Well, I think it's been bubbling around in the background for a while. I think when the managing director goes to China for 10 days, he's missing in action on Tyneside for 10 days, and he's in China, then you just get the feeling that it might be something a little bit more than just a sponsor. Did come back and deliver the sponsor Newcastle were looking for. They've got a really big investment already in the bag. You know, you don't just speak to one person if you go there for, you know, 9-10 days. And I think really, if there is somebody who's got money to put in, I think Mike Ashley, he'll probably take it. He's a businessman. He's there to make money. I don't know if he'll appreciate somebody else interfering with his football club. I don't know. He didn't want that when Freddie Shepherd was there. So that'll be interesting to see how the dynamics of it work. Whoever it is may be a hands-off kind of customer, and they'll just put the money in and sit back and see if they can invest. But if it was a full-on takeover, I think then that would be the bigger news. It looks like it's only going to be a fraction, if at all it does happen. But, you know, as always, as journalists, we're,
you know, we're putting the calls in, we're trying to find out what's happening, and Newcastle don't want to say very much about it. So,
and of course, why, if it was a takeover, it would potentially be coming at the worst possible time, because it just doesn't happen overnight. It can take months, you know, to sort out with the due diligence and all what you have, and that wouldn't be the best news for Rafa.
I think it really just depends on what we're talking about. But I think the way that Lee is has mentioned there, you know, if it is somebody coming in as a partner, if it is somebody coming in with looking to make an investment, which we have seen quite a lot of in the Premier League in the last 2 years. The last significant investments have been Everton, where it was 49.9% was sold, which was a controlling stake, but it wasn't the full amount. And there was also Palace, where there was two American businessmen came in, Dave Blitzer and Josh, I can't remember what his second name is, but they came in and just basically put money into the club. But Steve Parrish was still the kingmaker there as well. So it's quite interesting, because I think basically if Newcastle was taken over and the fee was 400 million, that would be the most anybody had spent on a football club in England since Manchester United, when they were taken over by the Glazers. And the Glazers took, obviously it was a leveraged buyout, so it wasn't their own money that was put in. So that kind of gives you an idea of the scale of what we're talking about here. You know, it wouldn't be like it's not like Wolves getting taken over for 30 million, or, you know, potentially kind of a team getting taken over for 5, 10 million. It's a £400 million investment before you even start. You know, that would be absolutely huge. If it happens, that would be the biggest takeover in English football since Manchester United in terms of actual finance. So I just I'm sceptical about whether it's actually going to happen. So I think Newcastle just have to get on with it. Rafa has to get on with it. He has to get on with it with the budget that he had. And I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't think it'll disrupt. The only way that I would be worried about it was if it was a kind of, you know, sort of smokescreen a little bit for not investing, but I don't think it is that. I know a lot of fans are kind of sceptical about Mike Ashley's motives, but if he didn't want to invest, he would have just told Rafa Benitez, "I'm not investing," and Rafa Benitez would have walked out. I think, you know, that would have happened. I don't think Mike Ashley is particularly bothered. Would have been particularly bothered about upsetting. You know, he wouldn't have tried to keep Rafa here, because I think he knows that Rafa had to have certain assurances. He gave them to him. So, you know, I don't think the takeover is going to have a massive impact on what happens this summer. I think what's more having an impact on what happens this summer is the fact that this is a really difficult market for all teams. You can see it, and I think that's the problem. I mean, players have options. There's a lot of money floating about, and I just think it's not as easy as last season when Newcastle were the biggest fish in a smaller pond. Now they're a kind of medium-sized fish in a you know, quite a big pond, and with a lot of other big clubs. And they're just having to wait, and it's frustrating for Rafa, it's frustrating for us, but that's just the way it is. It's just a really difficult market, and that's how it is.
Go on to the market in a second, obviously, with Pickford heading to Everton for 30 million, but just staying on the whole additional investment, Chris, what's your understanding? Was Benitez maybe told about something along those lines last month when he met with Ashley, do you think?
Well, I think, as Lee says, it's been bubbling for quite a while, and in general, just there has. Regularly, you get people who supposedly have an interest in a football club through intermediaries or whatever will say, or might be interested in investing. This happens fairly regularly with a lot of clubs, particularly from China and also from the USA. I think Benitez was given a little indication that there might be some potential interest, but I don't think he knew any of what was likely to come out this week that it would potentially reach the level that it has done. But as far as we're aware, he has since been reassured that the message from it's supposed to come from the club is that it's business as usual. Look, this is what's going on outside, but we continue to look for transfers. We've put all the effort in already. The budget remains the same. Every last penny, as Mike Ashley said last month, Rafa will get to spend from what he earned from promotion and also from potential player sales. Now, I know fans are getting a little bit frustrated because we still have only seen Christian Atsu come through the door, but the transfer window only opened last Friday. It's still a very early stage. And if there's one person you want to put your faith in this department, it is Rafa Benitez. And I think that if there was real frustrations, we would soon know about it. And I think at this stage, we're not quite there yet.
Interestingly, you can see why potential investors would be interested in Newcastle. Premier League football, obviously, Benitez. How key is Benitez to any potential investor?
Well, I think he's very important because he's, you know, he's one of these sort of global figures in the game where no matter who you are in football, you know, you've heard of Rafa Benitez. There's obviously the Liverpool link, the Chelsea link. He's a big name. Obviously, he needs to be backed properly, and I think it would be great if the you know, that's the dream ticket. If there's someone with a lot of money to invest, that they just give Rafa a kitty and say, you know, go shop, that'd be fantastic. You know, let him do what he does best. There's probably things that he wants to do at the minute that he can't do because of restrictions with wages. You know, you look at some of the wages that Newcastle players are on, the average wage, it's nowhere near what Premier League clubs are offering. You know, Bournemouth being the big example with Defoe. You know, how do Bournemouth have £100,000 a week to spend on one player because of being in the Premier League for 12 months? Newcastle haven't. So it's going to be a tough market for Rafa to operate in. But as I say, if there's someone out there with the money to inject, then that might change a lot of things. It'd be great to see Newcastle push on. I mean, Manchester City's obviously the big dream, isn't it? You know, how they could when they were getting relegated to third flight, they would never have expected to be like seen in their lifetime lifting the Premier League trophy. You know, you'd love that to happen to Newcastle in many ways, but they seem a long way from that at the moment.
Well, is it a case, and some fans have said this, that it is kind of better the devil you know, and Mike Ashley's kind of now mellowed in his approach, he looks like he's back and everything just seems right. So would it be a case that, you know, someone comes in and they maybe change direction and everything goes back up, kind of?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, Mike Ashley, you know, while he has probably been better in the last 12 months, I mean, January was a confusing and bewildering and potentially destabilising time. I mean, you know, a more hair trigger manager would have potentially walked out or certainly created problems in January after what happened. I think, you know, Rafa felt that he was, you know, misled a little bit on what was happening in January. So, you know, Mike Ashley hasn't been completely perfect the last 12 months, but I think he's definitely, I think the thing about Mike Ashley is probably not as bad as it seemed. He's not as bad as it seemed when his popularity was really low, but I don't think he's ever, you know, I personally don't think the Newcastle under his ownership are ever going to be long-term top four unless he basically, Rafa is given a complete carte blanche to go and do what he can. And you know, I still have question marks over where Mike Ashley sees Newcastle in the next few years. Is he ambitious? Is he interested in kicking Newcastle on, or is it really more about just kind of like keeping them, you know, we say that they are in a much better place than they were 12 months ago, but there's still loads that needs to be done at Newcastle. You know, they need to start thinking like a big club on and off the pitch. Rafa's the first start of that process, but, you know, there's still a lot of things at Newcastle. The academy, for example, you know, the training ground. I mean, the training ground is, you know, it's a good training ground. It's a nice facility, but you compare it to like Liverpool, you compare it to Arsenal. Those places are like, you know, Manchester City now or have a football campus. They have their own mini.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Jeff Lloyd, and I recently had a baby with Ed Miliband. A baby podcast, that is. It's a spin-off of our show, Reasons to be Cheerful. It's called Cheerful Book Club, and it's conversations with some of the best writers working in the world today. You'll really enjoy our chats with people like US broadcasting legend Rachel Maddow, literary giant Ian McEwan, and the Big Short and Moneyball author Michael Lewis. Feed your brain with ideas from the Cheerful Book Club. You'll find us on the excellent Acast app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from Ireland and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stadium, you know, these are clubs, you know, light years ahead of Newcastle. So, you know, for all that Mike Ashley has done better, I think that if somebody can come in and has real money and wants to invest in infrastructure and invest in Newcastle United and invest in the city as a whole, as Manchester City's owners have done, as, you know, other owners have done as well, then, you know, that would be absolutely huge, and it would be a positive thing. So, you know, yeah, if they're getting a kind of, you know, a kind of tire kicker, then, you know, then it's bad news. But if you're coming in and paying Mike Ashley £400 million for the club, I think it's safe to say that you're not messing about. If somebody's coming in and spending that kind of money, then they're going to have more money on top of that to do something. So I think it would be really exciting if that happens, but I'm sceptical. I think Mike Ashley will still be here in a few years' time, and I think it will be down to Rafa being a really good manager if they kick on, which I think is possible. So, you know, no, you don't. It's not like Mike Ashley's still here, Newcastle are going to be in a disaster zone, because as long as Rafa's there, you know, they've got somebody who's absolutely fantastic at the helm of the football club, and they can overachieve. And Rafa wants to do that, doesn't he?
Fantastic. So it's kind of a wait and see. We'll move on to the market now. Obviously, Lee, you mentioned Bournemouth and paying Jermaine Defoe £100,000. We pick that off to Everton. There's some extortionate fees about it, and everyone was talking about how Rafa, when he comes in, it's going to have this Rafa effect. He can pick up the phone and persuade most people to come and sign for him. But we've seen in the last week, especially with Ruben Semedo, that that isn't necessarily the case. So, Chris, what at the moment is Rafa's kind of approach in the transfer market?
Well, it's interesting you say about the fees, because a few people have asked me, do I think that Jordan Pickford's worth £30 million. Well, to be honest with you, I don't know, and I don't think most people know what a decent fee is at the moment. The market is all over the place. It hasn't levelled out at all, and I think for the next couple of years, that's what we're going to see. And £30 million for a young goalkeeper who looks like he's going to be the future England number one probably is actually a reasonable fee in the current market. But as I say, as Lee said, wages are huge now as well. It's not just fees you've got to look at in the Premier League. The money that's come into it, players almost get stuck within the Premier League once they're there. They can't necessarily go to other big European clubs because their wages are so high. That's what Moussa Sissoko is probably going to find a problem if he does want to leave this summer from Spurs. Where can he possibly go? Because a lot of the big European clubs won't pay the wages he wants, so he's going to have to probably take a pay cut. In terms of the way Rafa is approaching it, we know that he is looking into loan deals as well. Tammy Abraham's one. Other clubs, he's put feelers out to basically all of the top seven clubs and made it clear that any of their youngsters or some of their fringe players who they might not necessarily want, who would do a very good job for Newcastle, he would be interested in. But also, it's probably going to have to be shopping abroad. We know he has extremely very good contacts both in Spain and Italy and elsewhere in Europe. He's leaning on them heavily. He's trying to find out some bargains, the likes of hopefully Lejeune will hopefully come in, players like that, whereby they're not on that extortionate wages that necessarily people are within the Premier League here. And you are taking a little bit of a gamble, unfortunately, hoping that they are going to come in and do the job in the Premier League. But if there's one person who is able to identify that talent and bring them in and get them sorted and ready for that first day of the season, it is Rafa.
And Lee, obviously, Chris has just mentioned Tammy Abraham. This has been going on for quite a few weeks. I think everyone thought it was going to be kind of signed, sealed and delivered. But he is taking his time, and a lot of Newcastle fans aren't very happy at the moment with that.
No, I think they want to see this deal done. For me, I was thinking at the start of the week, if he hasn't given them a decision before he goes away with England under 21s, that's a worry. You know that he's still not convinced that Newcastle's a club for him. It should be a no-brainer in terms of size of club, but maybe there's an England that somebody else could be in for him. These players all the time, they listen to the agents, they almost do the thinking for them, and then they just tell them where to go. It's very rare you get a Matt Ritchie, or a Dwight Gayle that can see what Newcastle United is and what it's about and what the fan base is. And unfortunately, young Tammy obviously can't see that at the minute. He might all prove her wrong, and when he gets back, say, yep, I'll take the Newcastle loan deal and see where we go from there. But, by that time, Newcastle may have moved on. There may be other targets. And they might not be able to guarantee him game time. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But disappointing to see some of the deals they've tried to do haven't quite come off. There is work going on in the background, but they haven't got who they want yet.
That's it. And obviously, with the work going on in the background, there's been a few questions about Lee Charnley, a few reports that there's been a few delays at his end that have maybe caused the Abraham deal not to go through. Is that a bit unfair on Charnley? Is it just the fact that the transfer window has literally just opened?
Well, I mean, it's a funny one with Lee Charnley, isn't it? Because he can, we've seen from the last year, I think he did some really good business in the last summer, in particular getting rid of players and bringing in some players as well. He moved really quickly. I think there is a kind of, fairly or unfairly, a reputation that kind of follows him around, that he is a little bit, can sometimes things can drag on a little bit with him. I know that, that there was a feeling kind of when Rafa was actually confirmed for the second time that was kind of left with him. And it went on for a week, 10 days, I think it was, and it didn't, and I think Rafa's people were kind of like, were ready to just, announce it straight away, and it didn't happen. It's way too early to be kind of slagging off Lee Charnley for not getting deals done on June the, 14th. way too early to be having a go. You know, I mean, I think in the past there's definitely been room for criticism of some of the way they've operated, but there's also been massive room for praise. I mean, last summer they went and got Matt Ritchie, they went and got Dwight Gayle, spent a bit more than they should have done on those players. The January before, he did some really good deals. It's, you know, I think for all that Lee Charney gets a lot of criticism, you know, you have to look at it at the end of the summer, because there probably are a few little worries out there that he's not doing his business. But, you know, look, if they get to the end of the summer, and they've got the players in, it doesn't really matter how long it's taken at this point. You know, I kind of feel with Lee Charney, he's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, you know, because his job just never stops. He's got to keep, you know, rolling on. There's so many things for Newcastle to do, but, you know, we'd all like it to be done a bit quicker. We'd like pre-season to be confirmed, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, he's a guy who, for all of his critics, Rafa kind of trusts him. So I think at the moment, you know, you just have to kind of wait and see. And if at the end of the summer, they haven't signed the players, then we'll go down and do a bit of a deep dive. But I think it's a bit too early to be climbing in on Lee Charney and criticising him at the moment, to be honest.
That's obviously just, there's a few loan players back now. Rob Moore on Twitter asks if Sim De Jong has a future at Newcastle. Chris, where do you see that one going?
It's an interesting one. We've spoken about this before, and he struggled in the first half of the season on loan, just trying to find a bit of fitness. Second half, he had a real purple patch, scored quite a few goals, did pretty well back in the Eredivisie. Do I see him being a first team starter in the Premier League next season for Newcastle United? Almost certainly not. Do I see him having a role to play? Possibly. I think, first of all, it depends how much progress Newcastle can make in the transfer market. We know Rafa wants 7 to 12 players, if possible, and it will depend how many of those they can get through in what has proven to be quite a frustrating market. I think De Jong is someone who could come into the side and do a role as a bit part player. He has a goal in him. Can he last a full Premier League season physically? I think there's a lot of doubts about that. So he's someone who I think could be here possibly for the first 6 months of the season, then maybe he's going out on loan in January or something like that. But I think that there is a role for him, but not as a first-team starter.
Fantastic. And just to finish, obviously, with the potential takeover, additional investment, we've been looking through some of the previous links that have been made down the years, and there's been some quite wacky ones, mainly the WWE one, which always gets fans talking. I mean, you guys, Mark and Lee, would have been here for that one back in 2009. What do you remember about that link?
Well, to be totally honest, I approached WWE and they were... Is it WWE? Is that,
yeah,
the, is
yeah.
that the wildlife, is it? Or the restaurant? I'm not
right
sure.
One, yeah.
Yeah. I approached them and they were really helpful, but obviously they were prepared to give as much information out as possible, but it didn't really materialise in anything. They said there wasn't any real concrete interest. I think maybe they'd tested the water a little bit. I think they invited me to the wrestling at the arena, which I'm not really interested in, but I know a lot of people are, so I'm not going to offend any wrestling fans. But that would have been, yeah, absolutely, you know, in keeping with the madness that is Newcastle United.
It was I did a piece a few weeks ago, just sort of saying stuff that was stranger than fiction, and a wrestling journalist in America, Dave Meltzer, told me that it was Shane McMahon, who was part of a consortium that was interested in buying British Football Club, and Newcastle United were one of the clubs. So they go, I think what happens when they go through stuff like that, if they're interested, the consortium kind of go through these middlemen who are like, oh, well, you know, there might be some interest, they might be able to get him there. So I don't think it was ever like, but I mean, imagine that. That would have been absolutely ridiculous. But there was some seriously, like, you know, was it Derek Lambias who kind of said that they started to ask people to invest in a box, didn't they? They asked them to pay for a box for the whole season to get rid of the tyre kickers. Because he used to say there was like loads of people.
I think it was a five-year lease on a box.
Yeah.
And,
which would have been tens of thousands, wouldn't it?
Because there was a few. I mean, you know, if you look through the old newspapers, you'll see that there was, in 2009, there was a lot of stories of possible takeover. And, you know, some people do approach the media and say that they're interested, but Michael Knighton's the famous one at Manchester United, isn't it, when he was on the pitch doing the kick-ups. And, you know, it turned out to be absolutely nothing, didn't it? I mean, some people are on an ego trip. They think it's fashionable to be linked with a football club. And So sadly, it doesn't always work out that way because you don't really make much money off football these days.
I reckon if it's going to be somebody serious, it's going to happen pretty quickly. And it'll just be like, you know, £400 million to buy Newcastle United is a heck of a lot of money in the current economic climate, isn't it? You know, and the Chinese investors, although there's some that have come in and, you know, and have taken over football clubs, they haven't necessarily then plunged a whole load of money into those clubs. I mean, West Brom were taken over by Chinese investors last summer and everybody was saying, oh, well, that's Tony Pulis gone, we're still there. And all they did in January was buy Jake Livermore from Hull. It wasn't exactly a kind of some big, massive investment, was it? It was a sort of a much more, you know, and I don't think Newcastle fans will be sort of, you know, particularly interested if somebody comes in and it's just about running the club. It has to be a game-changing takeover, otherwise there's not much point in it happening. You know, it's just a kind of change of custodian, you know.
I mean, the two Milan clubs have had Chinese takeovers recently, though, and they have had significant investment. I mean, AC Milan are throwing money about like it's going out of fashion. AC Milan are starting to do the same. The issue there was AC Milan's takeover bid took months and months and months. It looked at points that it wasn't going to happen. As we say at this stage, we don't know who or what exactly it is. We don't know if they are interested in coming in just investing and whether there would be big funds behind it. So you could get a West Brom situation, you could get an AC Milan situation, or we could get no situation at all this stage, which is unclear.
And of course it can go really wrong as well, Connor.
Yeah.
You know, poor Cardiff City end up changing the colours of the strip to red to please the chairman. You know, it can go terribly wrong. And, you know, I know Lee Clark at Birmingham had issues with it. It was Chinese takeover, and you can't get hold of anybody, you can't make signings. It can go really badly wrong. I know the Premier League are trying to change the rules now so they can eliminate that kind of, you know, takeover, so we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, for once, I think this week Mike Ashley's probably had more positive comments than ever before. So it's interesting how people react. That when you follow a football club, you learn more each time, don't you? And I think the fans know that, you know, Mike Ashley pulling out and somebody coming in who's hasn't got a clue is could be a big problem.
I mean, Wolves is a great example, isn't it? Because those guys at Wolves do have genuine money, but they don't know anything about football, so they've put George Mendes in charge of everything, haven't they? And it's like, it's just ridiculous. It's like when Doncaster, I mean, you know, not on the same scale, but Doncaster had Willie Mackay doing the transfers. You know, the problem is they come in, the Chinese consortium comes in, they're going to need somebody who really knows their football to come in and do a job, or alternatively, they probably just keep the people in place for the time being. It's a complete minefield. It is absolutely, you know, I don't know, the takeover sort of thing, Newcastle missed the boat, didn't they, really? Because if Abramovich or Sheikh Mansour had taken over Newcastle United right now, we'd be talking about Newcastle Champions League regulars, you know, year in, year out. But I mean, you know, they can still build it organically, can't they? You know, and I think that's what
they will get boring. That being in the Champions League every, you know, but I mean, Man City's the greatest example, isn't it? I mean, they must pinch themselves sometimes, Manchester City fans. But I still believe you get the odd moan from people who want to be back at Main Road.
Yeah. So, well, that's the truth, though, isn't it? Because like they're, you know, their fans say it's become a bit soulless at the Etihad.
But again, the thing with the Man City one was that literally happened overnight. This is usually, if there is a huge bid like that, you wouldn't find out about it at this tentative stage. It would usually be either negotiations are far along the line or it is actually happening.
Yeah,
Mike Ashley was the same when he first bought the shares off Sir John Hall. And I think that's why that there is more caution about what's going on at the moment. It seems very much as if they're almost smoking out to see if there is any other interest as well.
I was just about to ask you that. Why do you think it's come out now? If, you know, if Benitez was told the bits about it last month, and obviously when Lee Charlie was out in China, why do you think it has come out, you know, this week? Is it a case that he is trying to just...
Well, I think it's probably twofold. I think, first of all, it probably is a fishing trip to a certain degree. See if there is any interest out there from people he hasn't necessarily spoken to who now know that Newcastle could potentially be on the market. And I also think it's for anyone who has registered an interest at the minute to see if that interest holds out now that it has become potentially public. That will be a real test of the waters, see whether there is genuine interest or whether it is just tentative. And I think that there's a reason why it's come out now, and I think that has a large part to do with it.
Fantastic. And good feeling, you know, come 2018, January 2018, will Mike Ashley be the sole man in charge of Newcastle United?
Personally, I would say yes at this stage.
Lee?
Yeah, I still think he'll be there or thereabouts, but you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Marty Shelford.
Yeah, I think I just think he will be. I don't think there'll be any massive change. I think it's going to be about Rafa this season. You know, for all we talk about takeovers, it's going to be about Rafa, just as it was last season, because he's the most important man at the football club. Keeping him was massive, and him managing well in the Premier League is going to be the difference between Newcastle being in another relegation battle and sort of being safe and having a good season, memorable season.
Fantastic. Well, there you have it. If you head over to chroniclelive.co.uk to keep up with all the latest Newcastle United news, and we'll be back next week. Thank you very much.
Hi there, it's Caroline Foran from Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast, and this is a Staycast from Acast. Please, please, please do follow the government's advice right now, which is currently to stay at home where possible. The sooner we all get on board with these measures, the sooner we will be all together again. While you're staying at home, here's a recommendation for another great podcast for you to listen to. I think we need a bit of comic relief more than ever, so why not try the Two Johnnies podcast, available on the Acast app or wherever you get your podcasts.